Round the Corner Straight, written by Buseiko and read by Eos Rose. When school and the kids there get to be impossible, Michelle runs away, this time for good, taking Stephanie's old Barbie suitcase packed full and her school backpack with 9 ham and cheese sandwiches, 5 bottles of water, and the money from Grandma for turning 14. She stuffs her hair in her giant's cap and heads downtown to the bus station. Michelle pretends that Joey's not following until he buys a ticket, too. "Go away," Michelle tells him. "I'll tell people you're a pervert. They'll arrest you."
"And the police will call your dad," Joey says,
leaning back and looking all parental in a way that Michelle hates.
"I won't take you home, but I'm not going to let you be alone."
Michelle's chin wobbles with anger, unable to even look at him. If he says anything in a Popeye voice, he's going to get a fist in the mouth. Instead, he says, like Michelle should know this,
"I, personally, do not give a fuck about how queer you happen to be."
It's a shock. Michelle has never heard Dad or Joey or even Uncle Jesse swearing on purpose where the kids might overhear, and the laugh that escapes makes Joey look offended.
"What?" Joey says. "It's the year 2000. Time to shake things up."
"I guess," Michelle says, and adds, "For now, but you have to call me Glenn." Joey's eyebrows go up, and he nods, and then because he can go longer without air than he can without a bad joke, he starts singing "Oh Danny Boy" under his breath. From Glenn to Glenn, get it, come on, it's a little funny, right? So they end up just going an hour away and finding an apartment there instead of taking the bus all the way to Seattle. The first 2 years, Glenn doesn't want to see his family at all, not even cousins or people related by marriage. Joey jokes that he called in his debts, making his voice all godfathery, but Glenn's pretty sure he actually had to go and explain things to Dad, and that there was a whole bunch of trouble involved. Joey takes him to a center where he has to talk to a therapist and see a doctor, and enrolls him in a new school under his new name. Glenn's still in the habit of skipping classes, but at least in the new school, no one calls him names or tells him to be like his sisters. Joey buys him undershirts that hide his chest, and he joins the soccer team the second year. One morning in the third year, over breakfast, Joey mentions that Uncle Jesse needs someone to work at the club for their teen nights.
"Do I look like a bouncer to you?" Glenn asks,
sprawled out on the sofa and not even looking up from the dumb comics in the newspaper. Joey grabs the box of Fruit Loops and starts tossing them one at a time across the room at him.
"We'll get ants again," Glenn says, scraping them up off the sofa and munching them. "You come from a very heteronormative family," Joey says in the same pedantic voice Smokey the Bear uses to explain forest fires. Glenn glares at him, the glare of death, but that just earns him a Fruit Loop in the face. "But Jesse's got a ton of gay and lesbian friends, and that guy in the monkey puppet band, he was trans."
"Are you gay too?" Glenn asks. He sits up. It's hard to know when adults will treat him like a real person and when he'll get blown off for being just a kid. It's even harder with Joey, who has, like, some allergic reaction to being an adult himself. Glenn can ask Joey anything about Batman, but they both squirm when talking about sex. Joey waves his arm through the air.
"I thought I was straight, then I was bi, but I never really got what other people got, and I'm too old to care about faking it for appearances, you know? Your dad, when he asked me to raise his kids, that was what I wanted, being part of a family."
"I screwed that up for you, huh?" Glenn says, and grabs a cushion to curl himself around.
"No," Joey says,
I mean, yeah, when you dye your hair and the whole bathroom purple, I think, Mamma Mia, what have I done to deserve this? Glenn shoots him with his finger, and Joey does the whole help me routine. But your family knows, and they love you, and if you can't go home to them, they can come here. Dad would hate this place, Glenn says. He points to the piles of comic books and the laundry on the armchair, and Joey's Wonder Woman outfit hanging on the back of the bathroom door. He'd call it a biohazard. He calls you Glenn on the phone. Ow, ow, low blow. Glenn rolls his eyes up to the ceiling and huffs out a breath. I used to be his baby girl. He kicks his feet up on the coffee table. Talking about his father always brings out the urge to screw up somehow. If I work for Uncle Jesse, they are all going to ambush me. We'll make it a rule, no ambushing. Though you should know the twins are going to be getting their Hogwarts letters soon. Glenn thinks about being an uncle and throws the sofa cushion half-heartedly to Joey. It lands on the floor and skids under a chair. You are such a dork. I'm the dork who taught you the 6 secret rules of urinals, and don't you forget it, kid. Joey shrugs. I don't feel like you're still running away, and they want you in their lives. It strikes me as a peanut butter and chocolate kind of situation. He glances over at the clock and slaps his hands to his face like the scream. If you're late for school again, it's big trouble for you, Mr. Tanner. Glenn gets up and grabs his book bag, slinging it over his shoulder. I'm fast. He tosses over his shoulder as he snags his keys from the hook. You better tell Uncle Jesse I don't want minimum wage. He lets the screen door slam behind him as he vaults the steps and hits the sidewalk running, legs pumping, sneakers slapping the uneven pavement. He guesses Joey was right. He doesn't need to run away. He's got places he's running to these days. The end.